I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
If you want to be part of your hump day, you're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman, Chris Snead with you here in the First United Bank studio. Got a few headlines for you. If you missed it yesterday, Texas Tech baseball wins over Stephen F.
Hold
Austin.
Up.
What not done.
So it's time.
No.
Quiz.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
People needed to hear their headlines. Tech won 16-4. All right, let's go.
All right, smart guy. Here we go.
I don't even know what this is over.
I know. It's over the top 25 college baseball. You think you know your college baseball top 25?
Whose poll?
Well, I was going to ask you. First of all, do you know which one is the one that the NCAA uses?
They use D1Baseball.com.
Do you know which one you vote in?
The... I would have told you before now.
I've kept that
as a hidden secret that I vote in a poll. You vote in a poll. It's CBF, so
yeah,
that's
you vote in the College Baseball Foundation.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a secret. Why would you be ashamed of that?
I'm not ashamed of it.
Sounds like you're ashamed of that.
Yeah, I did say secret. It's not. I just haven't announced it to the world.
Well, it's not a okay.
Now, so.
All right. So yes, you are correct.
So you're going off of this one?
I'm going to go off of D1 baseball.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't even think I've seen their poll this week.
Well, it's just going to make it even harder for you because I'm not asking you for the top 10, my friend. I'm asking you for 10 through 20.
What the heck?
Yes. So, actually, it'd be 11 through 20.
I don't have to go in order, right?
You just give me 11 through 20. And if you can give me, there are 10 teams, 11 through 20. If you can give me all 10, I am buying your lunch. Absolutely. If you can get seven, you win.
I'm gonna go. Can I look at my own poll?
No.
To see who I voted for.
No, you can't.
I gotta go off the heat.
No, you can't. You gotta go off that. This is
all right.
You want to see if you know college baseball or not? Who's ranked 11 through 20 in the official Division I college baseball poll?
All right, North Carolina.
Ding.
Duke.
Ding.
I'm going to throw this one out there because I think they're in the top 20. UC Irvine.
By the hair of your chinny chin
20?
Chin. 20.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
You're 3 for 3.
Three so far. Oh, it'll crumble. Don't worry. Let's go with, I would guess East Carolina's still in there.
Ding.
Okay.
4 for 4. I like this.
There's a lot of Carolina flavor. Does NC State stay in? NC State.
Huh.
Dang it.
They stay in, but not in between 11 and 20. They're ranked 22nd. Second.
Dang it.
Yes.
I knew they were close. Okay. All right, wing around. I think Dallas Baptist is in the top 10. So you're going 10 through 20 or 11?
No, 11 through 20.
I think Dallas Baptist probably got in the top 10 this week. Or did they? Or are they 11? Give me Dallas Baptist.
Oh, they are 10.
Dang it.
Okay.
I think I voted
you,
the 10.
Yeah, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to go. You have 4.
You have one strike left. Give me any schools?
Nope.
any conferences?
Nope.
Nada, huh?
Come on, man. What do you think I'm trying to do? I'm running a charity here? No.
Yes.
No.
Run the charity. Charity feels good. I guess I'll go across for my phone a friend right now for Ben Poorman.
You can phone a friend.
I get one phone a friend.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, he's giving it to me visually. Florida State.
Ding.
Okay.
17th.
So I'm 5 out of 10 so far.
Yes. You have achieved number 11, number 14. Number 17 and number 20. No, and I don't know if he said that one or not.
Which one?
I actually think you got 5 right.
Five is what I've got.
Okay, yeah. Then you said you also said number 15, East Carolina.
Okay, I did see say ECU.
Yes.
Where are we? Man, there's so many.
Yeah.
let's throw Georgia in there. Okay. What are they like? 20,
Georgia is 23? Not ranked.
Really?
Not ranked.
I voted for them.
Well, then you would be wrong. You gotta let the Dylan Carter thing go. You can't keep voting for Dylan Carter.
No, they're actually pretty good this year. They just came off of a series win.
Number 12, Wake Forest.
Okay, I couldn't remember if they were
preseason
still
preseason number one team.
Couldn't remember if they were still in the top. Yeah, they've been like TCU to a degree.
Where, yeah, 13, Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Not
Virginia Tech, right? Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia Tech.
Tech?
Virginia is ranked 9th.
They've
yes, Virginia Tech.
In the.
I didn't say it was a good poll.
That's too high.
I didn't say it was a good poll.
Way too high.
You said North Carolina. You said East Carolina, 14 and 15. You missed Alabama, 16.
That's too high.
I believe that, too. I believe that they're
like Alabama should be around 22, 23.
Yeah, I agree. Florida State.
There's way too much in the D1 baseball poll, which I usually like. There's way too much SEC love this year.
And there's way too much fluctuation.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have Florida State ranked for a long time, and then they debuted them at like 16.
Yeah.
And then Florida State immediately drops 2 of 3.
Yep.
You missed South Carolina.
I think they dropped 3 of 4 in a week.
Yeah.
South Carolina, okay.
And you missed Coastal Carolina, 19.
Man, I knew there was a ton of
there's
Carolina
a, There's a bunch of Carolinas right there from 14 to 19. All if you right. had just said any direction of Carolina, you would have probably got it. But you did say NC State, and that was wrong. Rounding out their top 25, Mississippi State at 21, Kansas State at 23, Kentucky 24.
Okay.
And Oklahoma State. Oh, sorry, Oklahoma. OU, paperclips.
OU?
25. Sorry. I shouldn't say Oklahoma, David Collier.
You're welcome to. You're leaving the conference.
Yeah.
All right, keep hitting us up. Whatever thoughts, comments, questions you got, bring those in on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line.
You were so close to lunch.
No, I wasn't.
No, you really weren't.
No, I was a long ways off. If you'd have let, I'm trying to make you feel good. If you'd let me look at my own poll.
Why would I let you look at your own poll?
Because it's not the same as a D1 baseball poll.
You didn't even know which poll you voted for.
Because
I can run another pop quiz right now and just ask you to name the top 10 of your own poll you voted.
I think I could probably do that.
We should do that. Hit it again. Let's
no,
go.
No. You can't do more than one pop quiz.
It's time.
In a segment.
Why not?
The top.
Is there a rule?
The poll that I vote in or my votes?
The poll that you vote in. What did it come out as? Who's the number one team in our poll?
Alabama. Arkansas.
I was going to say Alabama.
Yeah. Football, right? Just kidding. That's what the F stands for. College baseball football. No. Arkansas, I think. LSU is 2. I think. Who would be 3?
You sure it's LSU?
That would be my guess, yeah. Mm. No. Oregon State's 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because LSU lost this week. Oregon State's 2. Like Virginia or Clemson's 3 in ours.
Nope.
It is LSU. LSU. Who's 3?
Texas A&M.
I'm still not buying the Aggies.
4?
Clemson? Virginia? I give up.
Tennessee?
Yeah. I did actually look at this one earlier this week. But
5?
I give up.
Virginia?
I give up.
Clemson? Wake Forest? LSU 8th?
Tennessee 9?
No, Tennessee is 4th.
No, they're too high.
You vote in this poll, dude.
Yeah, I vote way different than these votes, though.
God almighty.
Vandy 9?
Vandy is 9.
Dallas Baptist 10th.
Florida's 10th.
11th.
11th DBU.
Okay. All right. I kind of
wonder about our own poll because we have Texas Tech ranked way too high.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
And for 2 weeks, I have not voted for Texas Tech.
I think I had them in the 20s. I don't know.
Actually, that's not true. Actually, last week I did not put Tech in my poll. This week I put Tech at 25th.
This text, who sucks? Strike that, reverse it. Who cares? We suck in baseball.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Then don't watch.
I think this is the guy that called in this morning and says, oh, maybe I'm being too... I guess we've gotten to the point where we're so spoiled by four trips to Omaha in a decade that we think that anything less than, you know, sweeping of Texas and guys is unacceptable. We're starting to act like TCU fans. We're starting to act like Rice fans after they went to Omaha a couple of times.
This is our friend Mr. Steffi out in Dimmitt. So,
Mr. Steffi?
Yep. So if you think we suck at baseball, I believe so.
I love Mac. Why would Mac say that?
You don't have to. You don't have to watch or listen.
Mac is no.
But you're off base. We don't suck.
But there are folks that are all upset about it.
Yeah. It's the bottom line on 100.7 Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for joining us on a Wednesday. You're listening to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman. Christopher Sneed, yours in the First United Bank studio. Keep the thoughts and comments coming in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'll get some comments from Sneed on NFL rule changes in a moment. First, there is a new job tailored just to Ben Poorman. Not just him, but...
What?
Have you heard about this? You're always in for new work, right?
News to me.
Okay. The online gambling site BetUS is searching for a wiener connoisseur.
What?
BetUS is wanting a wiener connoisseur.
Hell no.
I should probably expand.
Get to expanding.
This is to...
about the wiener connoisseur.
This is to travel around to different major league ballparks and measure their hot dogs. They want length, girth, and weight for each one. So.
I have so many questions.
So, once you get your hands on one, you'll need to measure the length, diameter, and also how heavy it is. It's not a full-time gig, but they also don't expect you to handle all these for free. They buy the game tickets for you.
Mm-hmm.
Travel is covered. Mm-hmm. And you get $2,500 on top of it. And they'll also toss in $500 gift card to MLBShop.com and a subscription to MLB.TV. You can apply on their website between now and April 18th. Just enter your name and email. Write a short pitch for why you're the most qualified person to measure wieners.
Hell no! What's the website?
Do you want to do this summer? If they're gonna, I mean,
they're gonna pay me
25. As this is,
they're gonna pay me $2,500. Give me travel
to
plus
to
give me $500 at MLB.
If I could,
I'm in.
If my boss is gonna let me work from the road, then
I can work remotely. I mean,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
Hey, like, you know what? I have a UFL game in St. Louis. St. Louis has got a Major League Baseball team.
Yeah.
I got a UFL game in D.C. They got a team there, too.
I mean.
I got one in Houston. Last time I checked, they got a garbage can banging team there, too.
This wouldn't be bad.
This is not bad. What's that?
Travel around, go watch ball games everywhere in the country. And
I like to eat hot dogs. I'm a hot dog guy.
I actually don't care how they taste. They just want to know the size of all these.
Someone's
weird fetish, but
can I get it? Do they give me a? Will they pay for my tape measure?
Maybe.
Give me the website.
I'll give it to you.
No, give me the website.
I've already discovered our work internet won't let us get on it because it's a gambling site. Most of those.
Oh, it's gambling?
No, it is BetUS. So it is a gambling site.
Okay.
Uh-oh, Sneed's out.
I'm all the way out.
He can't get paid. He has that in his a check from BetUS. That probably looks bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It won't let me.
I can't do it on SEC. I'm about to sign a UFL contract. That also says the same thing. So,
okay.
That would have been fun. If it was just like, you know, maybe it was the Oscar Mayer company doing it. But if it's USA doing it, no. Dang it.
So
I would 100% have signed up for that.
I think I'm going to try to sign up and see. I'm not going to get it, I'm sure, because I don't know if my pitch to be good enough wiener handler will work, but we'll see. Let me try it. Hey, NFL rule changes. They happen this week. We're learning of a few of them. One is the new kickoff rule.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to adopt the XFL kickoff rule.
That's exactly what they're doing.
A lone kicker at the 30-yard line.
Yep.
And then kickoff players and receiving team players 5 yards apart, and you have to kick it into an area between the 20-yard line and the goal line. You have to, and if you it's very punitive to kick a touchback like to the 35-yard line. It's very punitive to kick it out of bounds like to the 40-yard line.
Yep.
You have to kick it in there, and you have to run it out. You can't. You kneel down, you're there. You're down there.
So experiencing it firsthand in the XFL, good, bad?
I think it's a good way. It's, you know, it promotes a decent run back. I mean, teams are getting the ball out to around the 30-ish yard line.
Okay.
I will tell you this. I saw two, I think they had like three or four run backs for touchdown. I was lucky enough to be in two of those. They happened in separate games. It is a thing when those – touchdowns happen because everyone, you're talking 20 guys are standing there between the kicker and the receiver, and if he gets past that first block, he is gone. And rarely does it he get past the first block.
Yeah,
and it's about what you're gonna find is you're gonna find special teams coaches devising, and they're gonna be watching and looking at who is the weakest person, which person can we go at.
They're going to try to get
Well, it's not such – you can't get to a double-team block.
Yeah.
It's so close. 5 yards apart. By the time you come together, there's no time to get a double-team block because you are going one-on-one with a guy, and you're trying to get a mismatch with that guy, your big guy on that little guy, your very strong guy on that guy who may be nursing an injury.
Yep.
And that's what you're trying to get to, and you get your fast guy to there, and if you get everything that works out the way it's supposed to, you get a run back.
Three other rule changes happened this week. If there is double foul during a down in which there is a change or changes of possession, including if one of the fouls is post-possession foul by a team during a scrimmage kick, the team last gaining possession will keep the ball after enforcement for its foul, provided it did not foul before the last
possession. It's called a double whiff. You get the double after, which is you get a fouls by both teams after the change of possession, a double whiff. You have a double – it's two fouls by both teams with a change of possession on the play, either before or after. I mean, they do exactly what you say. If the team that gets the ball wants to have the ball, they have to decline the other team's foul and enforce their ball at the spot where they got it.
Another rule allowing teams to receive a third challenge after one successful challenge. Prior to that, it was you had to get both of your challenges correct to get the third. Now, this one will allow you to get – if you just get one of the two right, you'll have a third challenge. The Lions are the ones that proposed this one. And then a – that one's pretty self-explanatory.
That probably won't pass.
Oh, no, this is all
– did that pass?
This is all approved.
Oh, gosh.
This is all approved. So that one's through.
Criminy.
And the last one – all four of these rules are approved. They're
through. Criminy sakes.
And then the one that's been the big topic is the hip drop tackle. As a official, is this difficult to?
It's when you see it, you know it.
And it's, okay, so it shouldn't be difficult because
you
to
see
call.
It. You see the guy grab onto him, and he basically just yanks the guy back. And what it ends up doing, it puts the full weight of the tackler onto the lower legs of the of the ball carrier, and that's how a lot of those injuries happen. So it's a dangerous tackle.
You're in favor of it.
I mean, it's another thing for us to look for, right? But I'm for eliminating dangerous tackles in place.
It should be as easy to call as
it's not
as a horse collar.
No.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
No,
is how
it's not as easy to call as a horse collar, because if I can see a horse collar, because horse collar action produces inside of the collar, a yanking action produces the buckling of the knees. The hip drop produces a buckling of the knees without a horse collar. So yeah. I guess you're, in a way you would say it, because the action is going to be the similar. And I tell you what, all you guys that say, oh, just put a skirt on him, we'll just go ahead and put flags on him, I'm going to tell you what, let's go get Tony Bradford, and I'm going to get you on a football field, and I'm going to have Tony Bradford grab you, and I'm going to have him hip drop you. Okay? And then if you get up and walk away and tell me how tough a guy you are, you can complain about the rule. But I'll promise you, you won't after you have it done to you, because it is not fun.
All right, plenty of reaction from you on the chat line. We'll get to that after the Owlaw first round results next with Kaylee's Daily. You're listening to The Bottom Line till 3 o'clock today on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is The Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be with you on a hump day. You're listening to Bottom Line on 100.7 Score and 170score.com. This is the Josh Fopple experience.
Yeah.
What's the official name?
Ashes. Oh, my official name?
No, the band.
Yeah. J.M. Fopple.
J.M. Fopple. Didn't go like experience or project or anything.
Parsons. I was going to go with the letters JM once. Like, that's the full name. Like, the JM. Letters. No, not JM. Like the full name is, quote, the letters JM, unquote.
Oh, okay.
I had already released music at
you
that
went
point,
against
though,
it, though?
So, yeah. I would have had to rebrand.
Rebrand?
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Nah. It's tough.
I don't know. I hear that Clint's band's wanting to rebrand.
I was just
like get rid of him.
But. I was joking with him yesterday. I was like, "What is your band name called? The Bad American?" Or something.
Ouch.
I can't remember what it was. But
someone did ask a little bit earlier about the transfer portal. If there's any updates there, Kyron Lindsay, the only Red Raider officially in the portal besides Drew Steffi. Mm-hmm. Steffi went in a while back. And I'm just looking online. Let's see. We had several players continue to go in. Lindsay went in yesterday. As far as from yesterday, Micah Peavy went in, if you missed that news, from TCU. Trying to see if there's any other Big 12 guys that went in. Three different UCF players entered the portal. Some guy named Michael Kalina, DeMar Langford, who's a former four-star at a high school, and then Markellis Avery.
Just real quick, folks. Sorry about this. Just reminding you that if you're on the double T side of the chat room, make sure you're on the score to get to so that we have eyes on it, because we're on the – I mean, we will want
yeah,
to. We'll go back and forth sometimes, but for the quickest and most direct access, make sure you're on 107 The Score.
Yeah, because we probably won't see it on double T. But since you reminded me, celery tastes like straight dirt. Only thing is, it's good for is stirring a Bloody Mary. Fair enough. Okay, as
I
far
don't know
as
what dirt tastes like, that's I always love when people make comparisons like that.
You haven't eaten dirt, surely?
Not in a long
dirt.
Time.
Well, okay, I was about to say, at least at some point you've eaten
yeah,
dirt.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, I've bit it before. Okay, I think that's all the Big 12 guys from yesterday. CJ Walker, another UCF guy, went in today. Eddie Lampkin. Oh, yeah, that's a big one. Eddie Lampkin went in. Former TCU, now former Colorado. Please don't end up in Lubbock. TCU's Jacoby Coles also went in today. So, and West Virginia's Seth Wilson. So, got you may not know a lot of these names, and that's why they're in the portal. Lampkin, you probably do know him. Jacoby Coles, you probably know him from TCU. So there's quite a bit of action. You're going to continue to see action. I would guess you see a Red Raider or two go in the portal over the next few weeks, but don't know who that will be. Lamar Washington will be one to keep your eye on. Damarian Williams, definitely should expect to see his name in there at some point. Haven't seen it yet, but maybe I've missed it. So,
how long do they have
to get the name in? It's a three week window. I think they narrowed it to 3 weeks instead of having the 30 days,
right?
Maybe 24 days, something like that. But
how do you feel about? I think it was Jamie who said it, or maybe I don't know. If you know you're going to put your name in, you don't need that long. So how did you feel about the 7 days that I think that Jamie was like, look, you don't need 30 days. You don't need three
Well,
weeks.
They would have to adjust the times. They got to adjust the portal times because right now they've got it open while there's games still going on. Because he's mostly right, the seven-day thing. Mostly, because then you don't know how long it takes for coaches' meetings where coaches are like, you know what? We see this other guy over here. And late in this process, we're going to ask you to go in the portal. So, in general, I think a general rule of thumb, he's right. I think 3 weeks is ample time, but I also think they shouldn't start the portal until the season's over.
Okay.
I think, like, there's a disadvantage to staying around, to being a team in the NCAA tournament right now.
Yeah, because you're getting that kind of getting a late start.
It's a late start, or you're doing all your work from the road, or like you cannot be fully in on recruiting the portal when you still got games going on.
Yeah.
So I don't like the timing of it. I wish they would change the time frame to make it the first week in April after the Monday national championship game. That's how it should be. I don't understand why they have it set where it is. Like college football. I also want that one after the bowl game. Yeah, easier said than done because you've got...
That one is weird because like, you know, we had people, and I mean, good on them for this, but we had players that already were in the portal and played. Like, I think a few of them said they were specified they were going to play and play.
They were
going to
get in.
But also did not.
No, I wish there was a different timeline, so maybe you give it a week after... Christmas or something, or 2 weeks after Christmas, and that's the portal window for college football. That's probably what I would prefer. Yeah, the timing of these is not ideal, but it's what it is right now. I mentioned the Wiener Connoisseur for baseball. How about some new ballpark foods out there?
Are you going to give me a list, or are you just asking me for
it? No, yeah, you tell me what new ballpark foods. City Field, which is the home of the Mets, has just come out with a new dish, I guess we'll call it.
Sure.
It is the Rainbow Cookie Egg Roll.
I don't think I'm on board just on the name. That looks awful.
Awful?
Yes.
It's a egg roll that contains a rainbow cookie, raspberry jam, and chocolate syrup rolled up.
That's...
Out on this.
That's intense. That's a lot of
there's a lot going
that's
on.
A lot of sweet.
Again, it's pretty sticky stuff.
Fair. Probably not as sticky as this. The White Sox have concocted a 16-ounce campfire milkshake that they'll give at games this year. It's topped with graham crackers, toasted marshmallows, and pieces of chocolate.
I'm more in on that. I think just
so a s'mores. Why don't they call it a s'mores one?
Yeah, that would be better.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Generally, I'm more in on that because I think milkshake is just a straight milk cuts the sweetness from, you know, all your the marshmallow, the chocolate, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Let's see. We got crab pizza. Where is this one at? Crab pizza is in Seattle, so that kind of fits. I would have thought Seattle or Baltimore for that one. Would you be in on that? Well, minus the crab.
I don't
what if it's fake crab? What is the crab with a K made out of?
Even imitation crab is fish. So,
it's okay. Yeah, it smells like fish. Sure. Yeah. My daughter had that the other day on something, and I don't remember what. She's like, this tastes terrible. Like, if you see crab with a K, probably ought to stay away from it. Let's see. There is...
I don't think I would be in on that. I feel like that's... You'd have to tell me that. Do you think that cheese and... Cheese and I don't really think of cheese and seafood as going together.
I would crab like flakes crab. On a pizza, top it with some butter, it'd be good.
Okay,
I don't know. There is wild berry flavored ice cream in Seattle too. Oh, these are all Seattle. Okay, I'm just looking at it.
I like that they're trying. I guess the variations and stuff.
Yeah, I like to change things up. There's the warehouse dog at Camden Yards. That one's got a lot of girth.
I used to be a big fan of the loaded dogs. The seven layer dogs or whatever.
Short rib nachos at Tropicana Field. Chimichurri tri tip sandwich at Wrigley Field. So lots of different options.
Yeah.
Out there is the new ballpark foods hitting in. How about this? The apple pie chimichanga at Chase Field. And
That looks crazy.
In?
Yeah, probably in.
Give it a try?
Yeah. Okay.
So, lots of new ballpark foods.
I wouldn't want to pay for it.
Oh,
I'd eat it, but...
It's all expensive.
Yeah. I'd probably like $18.
We have arrived. Rangers get the season underway tomorrow night. Astros are tomorrow afternoon against the Yankees. So, Major League Baseball... Gets fully underway.
World champion Rangers.
Tomorrow. Yes. Always need to label it. World champion Texas Rangers. Still a thing of beauty. All right. Keep getting your thoughts in. I got a football question for Josh and the group. We'll get to that coming up. It is the bottom line on 100.7 Score.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Choice Woodman, Chris Snead here in the First United Bank studio. The Owl Off is back upon us. We skipped you yesterday because, well, Tech Baseball moved the game up, but...
Preempted.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
We now get to return to our Owl Off, which we had a 5-12 matchup the first time around.
There are lots of upsets in those 5-12 matchups.
Yep, Long-Eared Owl versus the...
Elf Owl,
which I was really an Elf Owl fan.
Yeah.
What happened? All right,
the winner of the 5 versus 12 between the Long-Eared Owl and the Elf Owl is Elf Owl in the first upset. While being the smallest owl species, the guys work as a team to protect their home turf, while the Long-Eared Owl prefers to work alone. And as we also found out, most of the time just flies away.
Let's go.
Yeah. That takes us to the two line.
Okay.
So we get the two owl bracket. The 6th-seeded burrowing owl versus the 11th-seeded Frenagius pygmy owl, as well as the 7th-seeded eastern screech owl.
Bless you.
Versus the 10th-seeded flammulated owl. So what do we know here? The burrowing owls are typically 7.5 to 10 inches in length. We can get the hot dog measuring guy. And it can be found in all regions of Texas except northeast Texas. Unlike other owl species, they hunt during the day to retreat their burrows to avoid competition and predation. Predation, sorry. They've also been known to hide in...
Predation is one of our horse names because you did that before. Hey, go on.
They've been known to hide in pipes and other household tubing. Horse name, which has led to known to increase ability to absorb more CO2 compared to other animal species. The Frenagius, is that right? The Frenagius pygmy owl, typically is 76.5 to 7.5 inches in length. Their range is extremely small, only being seen in the most southern tip of Texas towns like Brownsville.
The tip.
Just the tip. They adapt to their desert habitat, and the Frenagius pygmy owls will build their nests and burrows in tall cacti to avoid being predated on.
Okay.
So there's your 6 versus your 11 matchup right there.
6-11.
And now, so you take your one. You get the burrowing owl and Ferunguis.
I'm definitely going
Ferugingus.
Let's just go with the pygmy owl.
Pygmy owl.
That's easy.
Yeah. All right. And then so
since I've already chosen one tiny little owl for the this, I don't think two tiny owls are going to make it out. So I'm not going with the pygmy owl. Give me the burrowing owl.
I mean, that guy could take down some CO2, man.
Yeah.
He's like I'm gonna. Well, I'm not gonna say it like that.
All right.
So I'm probably gonna go burrowing owl there too. We'll see. We'll find out tomorrow. Kaylee will let us know tomorrow what winner of the 6-11 matchup. Also, and now our 7-10 matchup, the Eastern screech owl, and that's typically 6 to 10 inches long. They can be found throughout most of East Texas. I just added east in there, and there's no east there.
That's a west.
No, most of Texas west of, except in the Guadalupe Mountain area of Texas. These owls are extremely territorial.
There is a West Texas. Yeah, we have burrowing owls there.
Well, eastern screech owls don't happen in Guadalupe. So.
No, sorry.
They're extremely territorial with other owls and even members of their own family. Ooh, family scribbling there. Eastern screech owls often engage in acts of sibling genus. Oh, sibling side. Where they will kill off their own siblings to eliminate competition. I love it. You can do that.
That's mean.
That is. Flammulated owls are typically 6 to 6.5 inches in length. These owls can only be found in the Chihuahuan Desert border of West Texas near El Paso. These owls often use their 14-inch wingspan to fly from tree to tree for protection. Flammulated owls have also been known to live in large colonies for group protection. So you can get the sibling side or the group protection.
Yep, definitely going with the group protection. Yeah. I like my siblings pretty well, so the screech owl is gone.
Yeah.
And going with that big wingspan, group protection, give me the flammulated owl.
So there, so what have gaseous. You? What say you guys?
Y'all can chime in on the Exploring Center chat line if you'd like to pick one. You're welcome to do so there on the Yates floor. You're with me on both of them?
I'm with you on this.
Six and ten.
Yeah, we're going to go 6 and 10.
6 seed, 10 seed. Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Kaylee. Good stuff as usual. All right, a lot on the chat line. We need to play some catch up really fast. Sneed just hating on dogs because he's the crazy cat lady. Marquise said Sneed starting off with the trash take. Woodman seems like a California kind of guy. Don't you put that evil on me.
Well, wait a second. I just named off like 10 dogs that I had earlier in the show, and I'm a crazy cat guy.
I think
guy.
That was sent in before you were the crazy cat lady.
I probably had more dogs than cats.
I've got to think on that if I've had more. We run through cats a lot faster because all our cats are outside cats and, you know, end up as coyote food eventually or roadkill. Great Republic of Rough and Ready is near Grass Valley. It's a small mountain town. Steven says he lived near there. They seceded for one day during the Civil War. Rough and Ready. Look at that.
All right. How about that?
Sounds like they weren't that rough and ready.
Ooh.
Sneed. Where'd it go?
What?
Sneed keeps interjecting during Choice's openings. That's why he's forgetting your intro. That's from Juan. Not today. He didn't interject. He was quiet, actually.
Wow.
Octopi Socks, horse name. When did Sweetwater I-20 Exchange get like this? Nearly dang died. What a mess. It's a mess
right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times where I've gone back and forth that way where they've shut it completely down.
The Waze machine took me off at Roby and took me around through Roby down on the other side of it 2 times ago.
I went through Necessity, Texas the other day trying to go around it.
Necessity.
Strawn, then Necessity. Like I was trying to avoid all of that.
Okay.
Mr. Steffi chimes in and says, okay, I'm spoiled, all right? My bad.
We've all gotten spoiled, Mac.
We have. When it comes to baseball.
Yeah, we have all gotten spoiled. But that's okay. The one thing we can't do is get like the Rice and TCU fans and think that we are – entitled to a 40-win season.
Entitlement is a big problem everywhere. It's a really bad problem if you're a sports fan. You're exactly right. Here's this one to follow up. Going off facts, Tech baseball beats the little guys down when they play with the big boys. They can't hang this year. Tech sports are like a fart. You can't trust them. Hey, the same texture. You used that last week. You can't use that same one 2 weeks in a row. Now,
like a fart you can't trust. What are you, 50?
Going off of facts, sure.
I mean, if you want to roll some facts out there.
I mean, you're still a fringe top 25 team right now. That doesn't mean you suck at baseball. It may not mean you're a number one team in the country.
Yeah, I mean.
Or you may not be a host team right now.
We are to the style points era of Texas Tech baseball, where we've got fans that have been spoiled by going to regionals, hosting regionals, going to Omaha. I mean. And here's the deal. If I'm gonna say something here, and if it doesn't apply to you, don't be offended by it. But we got a lot of fans that became longtime Texas Tech baseball fans in 2014.
Sure, you're exactly right.
And never attended a single baseball game until we went to Omaha. And nothing pissed me off more than getting bumped out of good seats for people who just showed up to the party in 2014.
Yeah.
And that, I'm sorry, and if you're one of those people and I'm offending you, I don't care. Because, I mean, I've been watching Texas Tech baseball since 1987. I can show you pictures where there are three people in the stands, and one of them's me, and the other one's Bill Gustafson, like Mike Gustafson's dad, and a girlfriend. And so, yeah, I feel like I got a little bit of, there's not many times where I'm going to say, yeah, I'm a long-time fan, longer than you. This is one of them. Because I can remember when there weren't many people going to Tech baseball games.
The whole Omaha or bust thing that has happened or has been the mindset around here is just silly, and we've talked about it. It's silly because, again, you had amazing baseball teams that never got to Omaha,
the best chance to win the World Series never even got out of week five of the season. In 2020.
Yeah.
The second best team ran into a 66 mile an hour left-handed frisbee thrower.
Yeah.
Third best team, the first regional team that would have probably gotten to the Final Four got double dipped by Stanford and a guy named Kyle Peterson.
Yeah.
Freshman.
I mean it's tough. Yeah,
It's hard.
You want to be a top 10 team every year, and that's not realistic.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Once again, if I offended you and you're a longtime fan, you're good. Apologize. If you're a 2014 fan, I don't care.
Have a good day. Bottom line rolls on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be part of your Wednesday. You're listening to 107thescore.com. I do have to pause and think of what show I'm on. I switch shows around so much that I do have to think about it. I'm like, where are we at today?
I do think it's funny.
Where are we at? Yeah.
I get it, but I think it's funny.
So something going on today.
Fun.
For Big 12 is Big 12 Pro Day. You got several players from Texas Tech involved. I think this is one of the things where having a commissioner like Brett Yormark is phenomenal. You've never had a league pro day. No league has had a pro day. And you got 137 different players to participate in this from across the league.
Sick.
Where you've got a lot of NFL coaches, NFL scouts, people there in Frisco at the Star. They're in person paying attention. It's nothing but good for your league. So I think Brett Yormark, there's a few things he's missed on so far, a few things that are still to be determined whether they're working or not. Still don't know how this Big 12 Mexico thing is going to work out, but I do think this one's a winner and makes a ton of sense. Can't believe anybody hadn't thought of it or put it together before now. So Big 12 Pro Day going on in Frisco. Josh?
Yes.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day, brought to you by someone not named Jamie.
Jamie is actually en route to Orlando as we speak.
How about that?
This is not the official question. You big roller coaster guy? Seem to be a lot in Orlando.
Yes.
Okay. You've been to Orlando?
Yes.
Which park is the best?
I'm a big fan of Universal. It's I like the. I'm not very big on the Magic Kingdom parks because I think there's like two rides that I want to go on, and the rest is kind of just filler. I think the shows are fun, so I think the things outside of the Magic Kingdoms are fun. So like the Knott's Berry Farm, California, Busch Gardens, Universal, good stuff.
Okay. How recently have you been?
It has been a while. I think the most recent time I went was maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay. So did you get to do the Velocicoaster, or was that after you?
It was after me, I think, because that doesn't sound familiar.
Went there. It's pretty amazing. That one's hits like 70 miles an hour. It's ridiculous. All right. So that was not my question. My question to you is, if you are the Dallas Cowboys right now, you have three realistic options at running back.
So that had nothing to do with the question.
Oh, not at all.
Okay.
I just said Jamie was off in Orlando, and I was like, okay. No, that is nothing. That was question like one, one off.
I thought it was a setup. I thought it was like a lead up. But
not at all.
Okay, gotcha.
Just no segue all into this. So if you're the Dallas Cowboys, yes. I know you're not a Cowboys fan, so don't try to sabotage this.
I'm not a
Packers guy, so
that's correct. I want to clarify that I'm not a Cowboys hater. I'm just not a Cowboys fan.
But as a Packers fan, you probably naturally hate one of the other brands in the leagues. Not
Bears, not a chance.
No, I'm just saying like
you mean just any other
name,
brand.
Well, the big names when you think of the National Football League, the Packers and the Cowboys are probably top 5 along with probably the 49ers. I'm talking like brands.
Sure. Okay.
I'm not talking about who's the best teams now. I'm talking about the brands of the NFL. Packers, Cowboys, 49ers. Patriots have probably worked their way in because of that. We're just talking about brands where you see them everywhere, all over the country.
I think the Steelers have a bigger brand than the 49ers, probably.
Probably. I don't know. I see 49ers fans in West Texas, which is very displaced. Okay. Steelers, would be one of those top 5. Anyway.
Sure. Okay,
so
keep going. Sorry.
The question is, if you were a Dallas Cowboys executive,
yes,
you've got three realistic options right now to go after at running back.
Okay.
That is bringing back Ezekiel Elliott. That is bringing in Dalvin Cook, who would be reunited with Mike Zimmer, but obviously not in any sort of role there with Cook at there's Zimmer at the defensive coordinator spot, but formerly being in Minnesota. So it's Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, or you take a running back in the first or second round. What is the best option on the table as a number one running back for the Dallas Cowboys in 2024-5?
I think the best realistic option for the Cowboys, I don't like the concept of taking a running back in the first round, but Things have changed since I've developed a draft strategy. Not that it ever mattered what I thought about the draft one way or another, but I'm not a fan. Yeah, you take your quarterback in the first round. Receivers are a dime a dozen. Running backs you don't take in the first round. Things have changed, and that may not be the case anymore. That said, I think we're talking about a couple of aging running backs, and Dalvin Cook, you could make the case that neither of them are really going to be what they were, you know, in their prime. I think your best option is probably to do some kind of running back by committee with like a Raheem Mostert kind of thing like the 49ers did a couple seasons ago.
Okay.
And hedge your bets on the draft, see how that plays out. You know, and not obviously do the homework and see who the best option is, but I don't think there's a fix unless that draft pick just is the guy. You know, I don't think that even if you bring in Ezekiel Elliott or a Dalvin Cook that it solves your problem. But for the best option, if you think there's someone worth taking in the first round, that's your best bet, probably.
Okay. Ben?
I kind of danced around that answer. My answer is first, second round draft pick.
Ben?
For the Cowboys to say they're going all in this year, which is AKA going all in on tanking the season,
I don't think so, but okay.
Letting all your top names walk.
They always do that. They don't, actually.
Some of their top names have walked.
And the best free agency options are off the board.
Uh-huh.
And we've seen what happens when you pay top dollar for a running back that you got in the first or second round.
Should have gone for Josh Jacobs.
I have my doubts about Jacobs.
Oh, I do too, but that was their best option.
There were a lot of good running back options out there this year that you didn't have to break the bank for.
But to answer your question, the way the season's going or the offseason's going, I would just have to just bite the bullet, go for Elliott or Cooks to get a high pick next year.
Which, if you had to go between them, which one would you pick? I'd go for Dalvin Cook.
Me too. Despite him being hurt more than available.
So was Zeke.
But I go with Cook, yeah. I give him the benefit of the doubt. But the fact of the matter is, both players' productivity has decreased rapidly.
As long as
they've been in the league.
I can't say I don't know much about Cook the past couple of seasons, just because, like, from his prime, he wasn't really in the headlines a ton. But Ezekiel Elliott, people tended to follow, you know, kind of just to wail on the guy, but still they would follow him.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton of grounding on as far as what's happened the past couple seasons, but I mean, we're talking about, I mean, they're probably like 27, 28 at this point, right?
Yeah, at least, probably yeah. Around then.
So, I mean, and when we're talking about running backs, that's ancient.
Very old. Yeah. I think Dalvin Cook is my pick. Partially because I've seen what Zeke started to go downhill his last couple of years with Dallas. So why would I want to bring that back? Guys don't just get better there. Dalvin Cook, yes, his availability is a question, but I think he's probably got more in the tank if he's on the field than Zeke does at this point. I wouldn't spend on a first or second round pick because I think you've only got fringe second round picks that are the best running backs in the draft right now. You look at draft grades, Jonathan Brooks, yeah, the guy who tore his ACL for Texas last year is the number one projected draft running back, and he's supposed to go at some point in the second round. Then it's Jalen Wright of Tennessee. He's borderline second to third round guy. Blake Corum of Michigan, same thing. Bucky Irving of Oregon, undersized guy. It's hard for me to find anybody in the draft. This is not a good running back draft class, so I think you're kind of forced to be stuck with one of those other two guys because the Cowboys didn't act on anybody up to this point. Like Ben said, it's not a good situation the Cowboys are in when it comes to entering next season based off of what you've done in the offseason. And then you lost most of your offensive line, too. It's the bottom line on 100.7 The Score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.